This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
This song hits me right in the all feels department. I love it. You can turn it up. It's a little John Fogerty. Turn it up there. Josh, why not, right? It is opening day. We got a little sunshine. That's right. I know they've been working on the grass, working on the stadium out at Bison Stadium tomorrow. That's when they have opening day in Buffalo. But the reason why I love this song, here we go. Because, of course, it speaks to me. Here we go. Let's hear it. Just a little John Fogerty. Position, baby. I love it, Josh. That's why I love this song so much. In part because it's also a great baseball song. Anytime you go to a baseball diamond, last year it was a big, I'd bring like a portable Bluetooth speaker for my son's travel team, which I was the head coach of last year, and the house team, but the travel team. And I would put up on the, I'd put the Bluetooth speaker on, and that was the first song we always warmed up to, was Center Field. It's a cool baseball song to get in the fields.
It's the best baseball song.
That's John Fogerty right there.
Best baseball
song. It's got to be, right? What position did you play when you played? You had to have played a little bit of Little League or high school or something.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I played all through high school. Center field and left field. Mostly left field, though.
See? I was a center fielder. That's why it speaks to you. It's not just a good song. It's a good baseball song. But, you know, if that's the position you played. Welcome to opening day. Major League Baseball, a very early opening day. Now, look, I understand that they've already had games in baseball. They started out internationally, you know, as they have the last couple of years. But here we go. The Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the Guardians, the Nate Geary Royals, right? The Phillies, it doesn't matter. Pirates, you're a Pirates fan. We got Orioles fans here in Western New York. Red Sox are at the Rangers. It's a good day. Opening pitches, Yankees opening pitches, 3:05 today. Is that the earliest? I got to look here. Yep, I think that's the earliest. In fact, yeah, that's right. Milwaukee at New York on ESPN at 3:05 p.m. You have Baltimore and Toronto at 3:07. Now, that's interesting, right? Why would they be at 3:07? I have a couple theories. I don't know this. Maybe there's something out there that I haven't seen. I have two theories on why Baltimore-Toronto first pitch will be 3:07, whereas Milwaukee and the Yankees will be 3:05. First theory, they have to have somewhere where it's truly the opening pitch. That's probably what it is, right? Where you say the opening pitch, first day, Major League Baseball season, first full day at Yankee Stadium. If you make them both at 3:05 and Berrios runs out there for the Blue Jays and he throws a pitch before Rodon of the Yankees, then you'd say, well, the season started in Toronto, which is fine, but that's not how we intended it. That's number one. The second reason is it possibly because of two anthems being played in Toronto? I don't know. Playing the American and the Canadian, so it takes a little bit longer. It's an extra 2 minutes. That could be it, too. I doubt it. I think it's because they want one actual starting Major League Baseball opening day pitch to happen, and this year it is at Yankee Stadium. Not always. It used to always be Cincinnati, I think, right? It wasn't St. Louis. Do you remember, Josh? I think it was Cincinnati always had the first opening day pitch, if I remember right, back in the day.
I don't know. I'm trying to I thought it was always
St. Louis?
For some reason, I think Chicago is sticking out my head, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah, no, Chicago might have had it a couple times. I think Cincinnati was the traditional, like, opening day. That went away years ago, and of course, now we do everything different. So, today is Major League Baseball opening day. We're not going to necessarily break down every game or team, but it is a good day whenever you think about it, because I think mentally it gets you over a certain hurdle.
You were right, it was especially Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati is the traditional opening day. Like, when, I don't know when the last time they were the actual, like, first pitch of the season, though. They are still home today at 4:10 p.m. then. They're taking on the San Francisco Giants. But they were traditionally that team. Juan Soto suiting up for the Mets today. Ugh. That hurts. Now, it's not like he had a long career with the Yankees. He was there 1 year. But to see, like, this is what the Yankees usually do. With, like, I mean, I know late in their career for some guys, like Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden, right? The stars of the Mets wind up playing for the Yankees later in their career. Well, in this case, it's the other way around. I mean, Willie Randolph did go to the Mets later, but Juan Soto, after the year he had in New York, incredible year, helping the Yankees get to the World Series. Now he's with the Mets. $768 million, I think it is, right? Up to $800. Who's really counting when you're talking about that many millions? Just very, very tough to see as a Yankees fan, but I think the Yankees did a good job this year with taking that money and spending it where it needs to be spent. If you're a Yankee fan like me, you're hurting to see Soto there, but you're also hurting knowing that Gerrit Cole's out for the year. Louis Hill, the reigning AL Rookie of the Year pitcher, he's out for like 3 months. Don't know if the pitching can hold up. Probably not. They don't have Soto in there to help out with the offense to take the slack up from the pitching, but they did, you know, add a couple of bats, Paul Goldschmidt now in New York as well, and they're going to do something very unique. The Yankees are apparently going to have a catcher lead off in Austin Wells. It is funny to me overall in baseball how it's completely changed since I was a kid and even not too long ago, I guess, where it was always the fast. That we just played John Fogerty. I said that was my position, center field. I was the center fielder leadoff hitter, steal bases, right? Because that's what leadoff hitters did. Fast people got on base, stole bases, get on second base, getting in scoring position. That's not the case anymore. Yeah, you want somebody to get on base now, but gone are the days of the Ricky Henderson leadoff guys. You could still do it. Nothing wrong with it. But the league has, the way that analytics has changed the game has really changed how batting orders look. It's not your Ricky Hendersons and your Vince Colemans anymore leading off. It's just guys who get on base, and then let's see where we go with our number two guy, who now is your best hitter in the lineup. It was always, what was the traditional batting order? It was really fast guy, gets on base, put him first, really fast guy. Second guy is your contact hitter that's not going to strike out, not going to hit for a lot of power. He's going to push him over to second base. He's going to bunt. He's going to slap it, and you're going to get a guy on second base. And your third hitter, he's going to drive him in with a nice hit because he's your best hitter in your lineup. Your fourth hitter is your cleanup hitter, cleaning up because whatever's left on base, you can clean up. And if he strikes out, who cares? We're starting over with number five in the next inning. That's the way it worked for like 100 years in baseball. Now, not anymore. Now it's your first batter can be a catcher. He just needs to get on base. It's a guy who gets on base. Austin Wells in this case. Second batter, that's your best hitter. Third batter, you're basically your second best hitter. Fourth batter, still kind of a cleanup. And then fifth guy is really even more of an all or nothing guy. But that's the way it's changed over the years. So today is opening day in baseball. Tonight, how about this? We got opening day in baseball. And we have the Sweet 16 tonight beginning this afternoon, late this afternoon, tonight. What's the first game? BYU, right, tonight? You were just talking about this in the update a little while ago. It is 7:09 p.m. BYU against Alabama. That's tonight. Also tonight you have Florida against Maryland right after that, tipping off about a half hour later. Later tonight, Texas Tech against Arkansas. And what is my final game I'm missing here? Thursday. Duke against Arizona. That's in between as well. This is really a very, very, I'd say, blue blood in a way. There's some blue blood programs in the Sweet 16. But it's, as we talked about earlier this week, it is just full. The entire Sweet 16 is major conference teams. Power Four, as they call it now. It used to be the Power Five. Now, you might say, wait a minute, BYU's there. BYU's in the Big 12 now. It's hard to keep track of where these teams are and what conferences they're in. You got teams that were in the SEC that are in the Big 12 or, you know, Big 12 in the SEC, Pac-12 now in the Big 10, right? I mean, what are we doing? But all the teams that are still alive are in a major conference. And it, to me, obviously speaks volumes of what's happening with NIL and the portal, but obviously even beyond that, it's the expansion, it's the money. I mean, Houston, right? Houston's in the Big 12. What do they used to be in the Southwest, I think? The SWAC? I think they used to be in the SWAC. I don't even have to go back and look. They had a Heisman Trophy winner, Andre Ware. Wait, they weren't playing in a major conference at the time. Conference USA they were in up until 04. Looking at where they had here. They were... where'd they go here? Well, anyway, the point is, you get the point I'm making, that this particular Sweet 16 is a who's who of college basketball conferences and power teams. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Got a fun game to get a consensus here on who we like and who we don't in the Sweet 16. But I want to set up today's show because it is packed. Like the Sweet 16 is with all these great conferences. We have our own Sweet 3 joining us today. What would I call it? The Terrific 3.
Whoa.
There you go. You got it. We said it at the same time. There you go. The Terrific 3. Paul Hamilton at 10:30. Sabres tonight take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sabres can catch the Penguins, can't they? In the standings. Where are they both? Penguins
the Sabres are
64. 5 points back with 3 games in hand.
They could also pass the Flyers tonight with a win.
John Tortorella stepping down as head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. That happened about an hour ago or so. A little over that. Yeah, but the Sabres, if they win tonight, they would be within 3 points of the Penguins with 3 games in hand. They're very, and 3 points of the Bruins with 2 games in hand. We'll get to see if they play tonight, but Sabres have games in hand. I'm not making the case that they're going to start climbing the standings and get into a playoff spot. That is not the case here. They are 11 points away from that. But I think as I sit here, Josh, would you be comfortable in saying, if I asked you right now, you would say yes or no, are the Sabres going to finish in last place in the Eastern Conference?
I'm comfortable in saying no, just because of the fact that Boston's on a terrible skid. The Flyers, John Tortorella just steps down like I don't think the Sabres are going to stand last in the Eastern Conference. But like you said, it's not like they're going to be climbing mountains here and making a playoff push.
No, they probably, that's as far as they go, though. They could very well get to seventh in the Eastern Conference. Probably behind Detroit, Columbus, the Rangers, the Islanders, all fighting for playoff spots up there. Detroit's falling back a little bit, but they're still in the mix. They're at 72. That's, I think, probably too tough of a hill to climb to catch them. But I do think the Sabres, with three games in hand on all of these teams, the Bruins, the Penguins, the Flyers, as of right now, and five or less points back from all of them, I think the Sabres have a legitimate chance to climb out and get up all the way up to seven if they continue to play hockey the way they have been, by the way, which has not been too bad. Had a big win the other night, obviously, against the Ottawa Senators. I say big win, not for the season and standings, but a nice win downtown. And downtown tonight is where the Sabres take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. 7 o'clock is when the puck drops. We will have the game for you and, of course, pregame coverage starting at 6 p.m. here on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Paul Hamilton joins me at 10:30. Then at 11 a.m., Pete Lembo, head coach, UB football. Doing a great job over there. UB is, they're having their spring practices right now. And they have some questions around the roster that we can ask Pete Lembo about, including quarterback, including replacing Sean Dolak, and what the outlook for 2025 looks like right now for a team that went to a bowl game and won last year. So we'll do that with Pete Lembo at 11 a.m. And of course, he loves his pop culture, his 80s. We got to throw a few references in there, maybe a couple questions. Pete Lembo at 11 a.m. At 11:30, we'll break down the Sweet 16. If you're in a Sweet 16 bracket of some sort, you're looking to a couple maybe ways to bet on it, some teams, you're looking at underdogs, favorites, doesn't matter. We'll do that as well. And have a special guest come out. I've never talked to him, but I reached out to him on Twitter because it looks like he does some really good stuff analytically and otherwise. Evan Miyakawa, I believe I'm saying his name right. We'll make sure when we get in touch with him. I've never spoken with him, but he has some really good charts and data and information on Twitter, on X, and we will get with him on the Sweet 16. That's at 11:30. Time right now, though, with my producer, Josh Schmidt, to play Sweet 16 Survivor. Here we go, Josh. Let's do it. This is where we play a game. We take all the Sweet 16 teams, and for whatever reason we decide, it can be because we had an ex-girlfriend that went there one time and we still are holding it against that school. It can be because we don't like the coach. It can be because they're a rival. Whatever the reason, you don't like the colors. It does not matter. We can choose to eliminate any team we want as we move on through Survivor to get to one team that we're like, above all, we will root for this team in the Sweet 16 bracket. Josh Schmidt, I'm going to have you go first because that means you will also have the final cut on Sweet 16 Survivor.
Oof.
So you will be number one.
A lot of pressure today.
Yes. Who are you eliminating first on Sweet 16 Survivor and why?
Easy answer here. Got to go with Duke. They've won too much. They're too loaded. They're too good. Just get them out of here. Let someone else do it for a while. Just go away. Just stop. I'm speaking for a lot of people when I say that.
Yeah. I hear you. All right, so Duke is out. Man, this is really tough. I have to be really honest. I think I could take all of these and just throw them out at once because there's no one I really truly want to root for a lot of reasons. But there are some teams with connections we've talked about that I will root for the players and the coaches more than the school or the team. But the first team that I'm going to knock out here is Arizona. There is really no kind of reason at all for me to root for Arizona in this tournament. Arizona is a team that I know when different coach, they had a lot of allegations a few years ago. I know that other teams go through this as well, but Miles Simon and Mike Bibby, like, yeah, that was great back in the 90s, but what's Arizona do for me these days? Nothing. So I'm gonna eliminate Arizona here in my Sweet 16 Survivor. Who's next for you?
This is tough. Let's go with... All right, here we get into the ridiculous reasons. Let's go with Texas
yes.
Tech because of the fact that they gave us Patrick Mahomes. Get him out of here.
I love it. I love that reason. I love it. Texas Tech, out. Okay, I am going to stay in the state of Texas And you talk about ridiculous reasons. After what happened in Houston last year for the Buffalo Bills when they went there and Josh Allen had his worst game of the season, thinking about Houston beating the Bills in the playoffs in 2019, I have no reason to root for the Houston Cougars in this spot. So I'm going to eliminate the Houston Cougars based entirely on football, not basketball, but that's why they're out.
That's fantastic. I love it. That's a great reason. I'm going to go with, for my next pick, I'm going to go with Purdue. They busted like every single one of my brackets. I really thought they were going to be a bust this year. I had High Point winning in almost all my brackets. So thank you for Purdue for ruining that. And for that reason, they're out.
You sound like Shark Tank. For that reason, I'm out.
I was wondering if you're going to get the reference there.
Yes, I did. I got it for sure. Okay. I'm down to a couple here that I'm looking at. And I think, let me just grab this team for a second. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, like, I have this. Okay, this has has nothing to do with him, but he can be a reason. Has nothing to do with Stephon Diggs actually going to Maryland, but now that I'm thinking about it, that's actually a reason on top of this. And he just went to the New England Patriots. Maryland's just kind of boring for me. Like, okay, they had a nice win the other night at the buzzer, actually. That was cool and all. But, like, what's Maryland? They switched conferences. What's Maryland done? I mean, they won it in 02. They pretty much haven't done anything in basketball since, to be quite honest with you. I get no feels for Maryland, so I'm gonna eliminate Maryland here.
All right, I like it. I'm gonna stick with my Chiefs reasonings from before. I'm gonna eliminate BYU for giving us Andy Reid. I mean, come on, like,
wow.
There's so many connections here that we're just kind of missing. Like, BYU should have been out five picks ago.
Did you see the story? There's a BYU kid whose grandfather invented the tater tot.
Wait, maybe I might want to bring him back now. That's pretty good.
His grandfather invented the tater tot. He was the founder of the company that invented tater tots. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. Tater tots are great.
Okay, so, man, where am I going here? I think I'm going to eliminate. I'm just going to eliminate Michigan State. And look, I don't despise Tom Izzo. But it's kind of like they're in my face again. And every few years, Michigan State just kind of becomes in your face in basketball for whatever reason. And I'm jealous here. I am. I really am. Because they're there. Syracuse isn't. But, yeah, I don't really love seeing them. I think, honestly, I'll be the first to tell you sometimes, Tom is a pixie dust. I'll say that. But go back and look at the history. He's had some great tournaments. He's also had some stinkers, by the way, like a lot of coaches. So, yeah, I'm going to eliminate Michigan State. I don't know. I hate to do it, but I'm going to do it here.
That's my favorite college basketball team. Like, when I watch college basketball, it's Michigan State.
Oh,
it varies for me from sport to sport, okay. But for basketball, it's them. And also the tie to Ryan Miller. Like, come on.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I know.
I'm going to go ahead and same reasoning as you with, like, Maryland. I'm going to eliminate Ole Miss. They're not really anything special for me. They're just kind of there. I don't know. They're just not exciting.
I was going to eliminate Ole Miss there. My reasoning would have been, can we decide what we're actually calling them? Is it Ole Miss or Mississippi, right? Can you decide on a name here, please? All right. You're right. I like that. Okay. I'm going with a true blue blood here. I'm going to eliminate Kentucky. They don't have the pizzazz of Pitino or Calipari anymore. Mark Pope's doing a really nice job there, but it's Kentucky. They've won a lot. Yeah, it's cool seeing Ashley Judd rooting for them and everything, but seriously, Kentucky. They won a lot at basketball. I don't need them advancing on anymore, so I'm going to get rid of Kentucky here.
I was wondering how long they were going to survive. They might have been my next pick, too. I'm going to go with Michigan. They've won too much recently. They've been too successful recently. Just take the back seat for a little while. Take a breather.
My guy, Dusty May. You're going against Roddy Gale from Newport High School, by the way.
Hey, I'm not. It's nothing personal.
Right.
It's nothing personal.
All right, no, I get it.
If your football team wasn't so good, maybe I wouldn't have voted him out.
Okay. I am... This really hurts me because our guy Carlin Hartman is there, but I can't have my Florida friends basking in the glow of another national championship after they've had football and basketball. And this is totally a Schadenfreude reason, which is I want them to hurt and suffer. So nothing against my buddy, Carlin Hartman from Buffalo, who's an assistant coach in Florida. Okay. But I can't have Florida win another national championship in a college sport because I've had that happen too much, and I'm tired of hearing and seeing my friends or people that root for them or went to that school to rub it in our faces when it happens. So I'm eliminating the Gators.
Wow, I thought they were going to make it all the way to the end for you. I did not see that coming. That drastically changes my next pick, I think.
Okay.
All right, so we've got, I think it's, if I'm remembering correctly, we got Auburn, Tennessee, and Arkansas left, correct? Is that it?
And Alabama.
Oh, and Alabama. Ooh. I'm going to go with Auburn here. Get rid of all the one seeds.
Okay.
One seeds shouldn't win it. Let's go. Upsets.
All right, well, Auburn's my team to win it, actually. I picked them to win it, but I think they might have been my next pick to eliminate here, too. It's Auburn. They're a football school. What are we doing, right? Come on. They should be a football school. They haven't really been. Speaking of football schools, yeah, I'm really sorry. I went with one Buffalo connection. I'm going with another now, but I mean, Alabama, right? I mean, it's Alabama. They're football, and now they're here in basketball, and Nate Oates is, you know, he's fun to watch. His team is fun to watch. They've been a little inconsistent. Even he kind of doesn't like his team at times this year, and he talks about how the effort and defense and all of that, they're exciting. Actually, that Alabama-BYU game can be really exciting. I'm going to eliminate Alabama from this Sweet 16 Survivor because I am kind of tired of seeing Alabama on the big stage winning a lot in sports.
I can agree with that. I'm completely fine with that.
Okay, and here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We are down to Arkansas and Tennessee. It is up to you, Josh Schmidt, to pick the team to survive Sweet 16 Survivor here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Easy pick for me here. I'm going Tennessee. Love the state of Tennessee. I know it's not, the university's not in Nashville. Nashville's a great city, though. Knoxville is, too. Going Tennessee all the way. Sorry, Arkansas. You're also kind of a football
school. So you're eliminating Arkansas?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. I built that up in the wrong way, but I'm eliminating Arkansas, picking Tennessee to win it all. Let's go Volunteers. And hey, think of the party, too. They took down a whole field goal, like a whole field goal post when they won a football game. Like, come on. That'd be a great
Vanderbilt,
party.
Right? Wasn't that Vanderbilt? They were marching through the streets?
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that was Vanderbilt. But still, like, same state, same vibe. Like, it'll be a great time.
How cool. Tennessee against Kentucky. I got nothing wrong. I got no hate for Tennessee. They wear orange like Syracuse. I'll go with it. It's a different kind of orange. You know, I'll go with Tennessee with you. Okay. All right, let's go Vols. Sweet 16 tonight. Paul Hamilton up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.